Now on BBC One, talking against the clock for just a minute.
To Just a Minute, this unusual, enjoyable and often challenging game in which I invite four guests to speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviating from the subject. Let me now introduce the four talented performers who are going to participate today. First of all, we welcome the charming and delightful actress Lisa Goddard, and beside her, from the hallowed studios of Radio 2, Ken Bruce, and on my left, that funny man, Richard Morton, and beside him, once the former commissioner to John Major, Giles Brandreth. Please welcome all four of them. Compete in this game, score points at each other's expense as we talk on the subjects that I give them. We begin the show today with Lisa Goddard. Lisa, the subject is flat feet. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Flat feet is a condition of the foot where the instep is lower than normal. So when standing or walking, the whole sole is on the floor. You can't join the army if you have flat feet. I luckily don't suffer from flat feet myself, but my great aunt Gracie had them appallingly. She could find no succour until she went to Australia, land of sun and sea and flies, and she saw a podiatrist who put her flat feet on a piece of paper, drew round them with an HB pencil, and made special shoes with little thingies in them to
It's going so well. 33 seconds, but Charles Brandon.
Brilliant.
You, Charles, challenge first.
Yes, it was a bit of hesitation, I fear.
Yes, and she was deserved it after all that. Charles Brandreth has a correct challenge, so he gets a point for his correct challenge. He takes over the subject, and there are 27 seconds available to you, Charles. Flat feet, starting now.
Flat feet is a well-known tongue twister, like bad blood or yellow leather, or the really difficult one, that was the chair Schmidt sat in when he was shot. Flat feet is not something that I regularly like to say, but I do practice it because it improves the perfection of my plosives. And for me, diction is all important. You'll find if you utter flat feet as a phrase, your posture improves, you feel your back.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes in this game gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Giles Brandreth. So, Giles, well done. You're in the lead at the end of that round. And let's go on to the next round. Ken Bruce, here's a lovely subject for you. Gentleman's relish. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Many is the time I've been walking along the seafront at Frinton and thinking I should have gone before I came out. And the relish with which I see a gentleman's is beyond description. The other gentleman's relish is, of course, the stuff that one could put on croque-monsieur or toasted cheese. It's a kind of condiment. Spices are involved. There's also a measure of vinegar. And I don't know what else is in it.
Lisa, you challenge.
I think he ran out of steam.
I think he did, yes.
I think he was running out of steam. Oh. I don't think he actually paused at that point. I was rather enjoying it, actually. I thought he was going rather well. Ooh. No, gentleman's relish. I'd like to hear more about your gentleman's relish. I consider that an incorrect challenge. A point to you, Ken. Keep the subject and 36 seconds available, starting now.
It's the sort of thing that's served in gentlemen's clubs. You know the places. They're along Pall Mall in London and in the St. James's district. And the old buffers who go along there like nursery food. They like to veg with their meat and they like gentlemen's relish on.
Lisa,
they like a lot.
Yes, there was too much like. Yes, they did like. So, Lisa, you got in there with a definitely correct challenge. 20 seconds for you now. Tell us something about. By the way, I must say, they can repeat the phrase or the words independently if they wish. And you have gentleman's relish. 20 seconds starting now.
My great uncle Tatton was a gentleman, and his relish was a charming showgirl whom he put up in a flat near Lord so he could visit her and see cricket at the same time. His idea.
Lord's is a place where miracles. miracles take place.
Lisa, tell us more about Gentleman's Relish in 9 seconds, starting now.
The flat overlooked the cricket ground before they built that new...
Ken Bruce.
Repetition of cricket.
Yes. You did mention cricket before. Yes, well, listen, Ken, because they mustn't repeat words that they used before when they were talking. 5 seconds available for Gentleman's Relish with you, Ken Bruce, starting now.
I could live on Gentleman's Relish for the rest of my life. It is delicious.
Ken Bruce is going to speak to us today. Gained that extra point for doing so. And Ken Bruce is now in the lead, just 1 point ahead of Giles Brandreth and Lisa Gonnard and Richard Morton. It's your turn to begin.
OK.
And lovely to hear from you.
Thank you.
The subject...
I'm trying to speak like an actor now. I don't have proper diction or pronunciation or a stentorian delivery. So I'll just be normal then, all right?
And the subject, surprisingly, is fakes.
Oh, great.
So you can fake it and talk like a theatrical actor if you want.
OK, lovey. Right. Fire away. What's my motivation? Fakes.
Fakes.
OK.
And you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Women are generally regarded as the past masters or mistresses, and I use the term advisedly, in the art of falsehood, especially when it comes to fooling men. They can use wigs, eyelashes, different contact lenses, nails, teeth, even silicone implants in parts of their bodies, which men have no idea about men.
Ken, why have you challenged?
Repetition of men.
It was men.
Yes. And it was too much
men. So a slur on half the population of the world.
The little jars, we talked about mistresses.
It was the silicone implants. I just had to
Ken, a correct challenge. You get a point for that. 42 seconds available. Fakes, starting now.
Tom Keating was, of course, the great producer of Fakes. He was an artist who produced...
It wasn't producer and produce. So an incorrect challenge, Ken, you get another point. You keep the subject, 36 seconds, fakes starting now.
Copies of original masters in the artistic world. And he took in the establishment of that era. That's not the right word.
I think there was hesitation.
There was hesitation because he thought he got the wrong word. And the 26 seconds for you to tell us something about fakes, Giles, starting now.
When we get up tomorrow morning, we may well be able to do without our tragic awareness for an hour or two, but we shall desperately need our sense of the comic, said my father on discovering that the Vincent van Gogh in the drawing room was actually by me. He had been fooled all these years. I said, there's a touch and Gauguin effort at impressionism. He said, I'll clip your ear off for that. He was furious at my attempt at fakery.
Giles Brandreth with his fakes kept going till the whistle, gained that extra point, and he's moved forward, but he's only 1 point behind Ken Bruce, who's still our leader, and it's Giles Brandreth's turn to begin. And the subject for you, Giles, is Charlie Chaplin. Tell us something about that genius in this game, starting now.
Well, the first thing to be said about Charlie Chaplin is that he wasn't funny, as far as I'm concerned. I do know a great deal.
Oh, yes, challenge.
I completely agree with him.
Oh, sacrilege. So I went, yes, what do you
say? So do I.
No, I mean, you can't say that. I mean, I would have had him for deviation.
It was a
that.
Personal opinion. I was going to explain why, for me, he isn't funny.
I know, and nobody's because... given you a correct challenge, so you keep the subject, actually.
Excellent.
So I don't think you deserve it after what you've said, because I think he was a genius, as I said earlier on. There are very few comic geniuses, but Charlie Chaplin was one of them. Giles Brandreth, continue on the subject, and there are 54 seconds starting now.
Nicholas Parsons is not going to like this, but I have to tell you that when he first arrived in Hollywood during the First World War...
A little bit of hesitation there, I think, John.
Well, yes.
Because he got the war's mother.
I got my war... I was looking at Nicholas and, of course, thought of the First World War.
I think this audience is rotten. If they insult me, you not only laugh, you also clap. There's no justice. Therefore, Giles, you have lost it this time. It shows you how fair I am. I gave it to you before, even though I disagreed. But this time, First World War, correct. Repetition, 46 seconds. Charlie Chaplin with you, Richard, starting now.
Charlie Chaplin, of course, was one of the greats of the silent era. One of his finest jokes being... Which was always... I just wanted to do that.
It was Lisa's challenge first, so hesitation we call that. Lisa, you've got Charlie Chaplin. You have 39 seconds starting now.
I have to totally agree with Giles Brandreth. I have never found Charlie Chaplin funny. Buster Keaton, yes. Harold Lloyd, indeed. But Charlie Chaplin leaves me cold.
I can't bear the thought of Lisa Goddard being left cold.
Giles branded his challenge and got a correct one and gets the subject back. And there are 27 seconds on Charlie Chaplin, Giles, starting now.
I'm sorry to report that in the autumn of 1917, when Charlie Chaplin was in Los Angeles, he took an interest in young, indeed prepubescent girls. This is a fact, though unpleasant. Indeed, he attacked, assaulted a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old, and indeed he married a 17-year-old and left her on the year that she gave birth.
Whose challenge first? You did.
A lot of year-olds.
Yes, a lot of year-olds.
But it was interesting, wasn't
very,
it?
Very
it was interesting and shocking. Yeah.
Shocking.
And how can people laugh at this man when you think what he did?
And also, 15, 16, 17 aren't prepubescent where I live. I can tell you that.
Actually, 15-year-old is a hyphenated word. 16-year-old is a hyphenated word. They are different words. Different words.
Six, but you repeated.
But was it she who challenged me?
She challenged you, yes.
So only part of the world was repetition.
No, you said 16-year-old, 15-year-old.
16-year-old. It's one word, you see. 16-year-old, 17-year-old, 18-year-old.
But you said year-old.
74-year-old, you know.
How it is. Well, old, have you won the word old? Because you do try hard, don't you, sometimes? Lisa, correct challenge. So, you have 7 seconds on Charlie Chaplin starting now.
Charlie Chaplin is a restaurant near where I live. They serve mussels and crab and soup for starters.
Lisa Goddard was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and she has now moved forward equal with Ken Bruce, who's 1 point together behind Giles Brandreth, our leader. And Lisa, it's back with you to begin. The subject, sirens. Can you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
The three sirens were the daughters of Mother Earth, and they lured sailors to their death with their sweet song, promising them foreknowledge of all future happenings.
A little bit of hesitation.
Yes, there was. I got overexcited with my story.
Tell us something about sirens. 50 seconds, starting now.
Sirens are the most irritating, annoying thing I can think of when lying in bed and somebody's car goes off or a factory is...
Ken, you challenge.
Bit of hesitation.
A bit of hesitation.
The merest.
Well, the car was going off. I thought it was mine for a second. All right.
Ken, the correct challenge. 42 seconds, sirens, starting now.
During the First World War, when Charlie Chaplin was in Los Angeles and Nicholas Parsons was there as well, the sirens were constantly going off owing to air raids. This happened in the second unpleasantness as well. And how awful it was for a boy like myself growing up in the 50s to hear these sirens moaning, moan.
Why have you challenged me, sir?
Because the war was over by the 50s.
It was over by the 50s, but he was talking about growing up in the 50s.
Not in the part of Glasgow.
I disagree with the challenge. It was a good attempt, but you're still with you, Ken, on sirens and 22 seconds available starting now.
The local one was on top of the police station, and every time it went off, our little dog used to yap and bark and yelp excitedly because he didn't have much of a life.
A bit of hesitation. Enough to say yes, you have the subject, Richard, and 10 seconds to tell us something about sirens starting now.
One wonders about the little dog in the Bruce household as the sirens were going off and they were drinking whiskey as hard as they possibly could, trying to keep the poor beast quiet as it yelped and howled and flee.
So close.
You did it.
So Richard Morton kept going till the whistle went. It was almost interrupted at the last second, but just made it. And at the end of that round, he has leapt forward, but he's still in fourth place. But he's only 1 point behind Lisa Goddard, is only 1 point behind Giles Brandreth, only 1 point behind Ken Bruce in that order. And that's the state of play as Ken Bruce begins the next round. Oh, Ken, I think you are going to love this subject. Malt whiskey. Yes, that audience loved it as well. Look, they were panting, they got their mouths open. Tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now.
I cannot understand the people who, when they are offered a drink after a meal, opt for brandy when malt whiskey is available. It is nectar, the water of life, Ushkabar in the original Gaelic. The Spey Valley is one of the best places in which to buy malt whiskey. The beautiful fluids of the river in that particular area supply the basis for the malt whiskey. Another good area for them is...
And you've challenged us.
We had Aria twice.
We had Aria twice, yes. We were all agog. We were hanging on every word. And you get going for 37 seconds. Well done, Ken.
Can I have a drink of whiskey now, please?
Giles, you got in on malt whiskey, and there are 33 seconds available starting now.
What does Her Majesty the Queen do when she drinks too much malt whiskey? She burps.
Ken, why did you challenge?
This is Les Majestés. Her Majesty the Queen doesn't drink whiskey like Giles Brandreth does, the bottle to his lips, lying in the back.
Of course she doesn't.
He could have well have been going to say that, but he didn't exactly establish that picture, Ken. I know you were, I think you were defending her quite
rightly. Of course I was.
Absolutely, and I respect that, but I have to keep fair within the rules of Just a Minute, and he has not deviated. So you are able to keep going, Giles. Don't go too far. You might be in the Tower of London. but you have another 26 seconds to continue, starting now.
When the monarch consumes too freely and belches, she then issues a royal pardon, so that there's no question of any Les Majestés or offence being given. But I have to tell you, it is a warning to us all not to tipple too much. Because when you do, you behave in an unfortunate way. Viz, to illustrate, here is Ken Bruce. Look at the man now. What a grotesque sight it is. This is the effect of malt whiskey on a nightmare.
Charles Brandreth's business was away and gained that extra point has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Richard Morton, your turn to begin. Richard, I don't know why Ian Messiter, who thinks of these things, has got this one for you, but it's being a good loser.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot.
but somebody had to begin with it.
Okay.
And the thing is, you have to talk about it. But talk on the subject of being a good loser in 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
Being a good loser is something I have to take into account every night of my professional life as a stand-up comedian, as I often walk out on stage and am assailed by heckles from the audience such as, "Oh, look, it's John Inman's stunt double." "Hey, there must be Billy Idol's dad." And, "Wow, Max Headroom and Annie Lennox have had a love child." These are the kind of remarks and insults I have to take into my stride whilst trying to do jokes and, of course, accept my worthy adversaries as being funnier and more amusing than me while keeping a big smile on my face and really hate their guts for doing it, frankly. In the meantime, I do try and keep a sense of fair play, as I think a British person really should do, because most of us feel that that is the main thing in life, not to win, simply to play, simply to be a part of the game. And I think I'm still talking and you're all looking. Did the whistle go? Is the bell gone? Oh, no, it mustn't have done. So, ha-ha, I will carry on with my witty and apposite tirade about the heckling world just to see the look on your faces as I carry on.
Well, there's one thing about being a good loser, but there's another thing about being a good winner. So
you just let me win there.
No. I think they enjoyed it so much, they let you go. But you did it with style. You did it with panache. And I think they were generous, but at the same time, we loved it.
Why,
so
thank you.
He's went for the whole full 60 seconds. Mm. So he not only gets a point for speaking with the whistle, went against a bonus point for not being interrupted.
Yay! Thank you.
So you're now equal. No, you've now gone ahead of Lisa Goddard.
Oh.
And you're only one behind Ken Bruce. And only two behind our leader, Giles Brandreth. Ooh. And whose turn is it to begin? I think it's Giles' turn, isn't it? Yes, it is. Oh, yes, there's a lovely subject. Marmalade. Marmalade. You've got a sort of marmalade-type shirt on, but would you talk on the subject of marmalade, Giles, starting now?
In fact, one can make marmalade out of quite extraordinary things. At home, we do have a blender, and into the Moulinex, we put all the family's dead hamsters. Mix up the material here, and then spread the residue, the hamster marmalade, on the...
Right, yes, Lisa.
Disgusting.
No.
That repetition of hamster.
You mentioned hamster more
than once. Oh, you're right.
I'm pleased you did, because I don't want to hear any more about this. Poor little, beautiful little beasties, those hamsters. I love them, the little cages going round and round, fluffy and cuddling. And all the children at home now today will be so upset at what you said. I'm overcome. I couldn't care less, actually. Lisa, I agree with your challenge. It was a repetition of hamster. Marmalade is with you, and there are 44 seconds available, starting now.
Marmalade was invented by the handmaidens of Mary, Queen of Scots, who wanted to cheer her up, so they made some orange jam and called it Marie-a-Malade. My great-aunt Alice always makes her marmalade on January the 2nd. Buys several oranges, only the best, straight over from Spain, cuts them up really fine, puts them in a pan with sugar, stirs for hours, and
who's challenged?
I challenged.
Why?
Well, a whole range of reasons. Why, frankly, I was mesmerised by her, and I pressed the button long after she had made that assertion that Seville oranges were the best. Obviously, they're not.
They are the best,
the
for,
best
marmalade.
For marmalade.
No, I'd have white oranges. Let's buy British. You of all people, Nicholas, advocating Seville
oranges.
They
are in the European Union, you know. So, an incorrect challenge, Charles. Well tried.
Thank
I know you.
You
were mesmerised by Lisa Goddard while she was doing that. But 19 seconds still available for you on your marmalade, starting now.
You have to wait until the jelly has set. Take it out, put it in a saucer.
She wanted
do that.
To stir
yeah.
again. We haven't done that one.
She can do that to me anytime. She is gorgeous.
Charlie Chaplin, silent movies again.
Correct challenge.
Yes.
You were the first. And hesitation. There are 13 seconds. Marmalade with you starting now.
Marmalade is made in a different way in each of the countries of the European Union, whether you go to the United Kingdom, France, Finland, Belgium, Italy, Germany, Greece, Luxembourg, Eros, Spain.
Richard, you've challenged.
Are Finland in?
Yes. Now 15 members.
OK, fair play.
Where'd I got to? I mustn't repeat,
yeah.
must I?
Yeah, and also, it was getting a bit listy.
Oh, yeah. You can list it. It's quite difficult to list, actually, not put oars in as he did.
You went round Europe.
What's that?
Indeed. Looking for Seville oranges.
You were. He was on a jam trawl.
Right. 3 seconds, Giles, on marmalade starting now.
My kind of marmalade.
Right,
I thought he hesitated just for a second there. The breathing. He went.
I think the audience would like you to have it, actually. Wouldn't you?
So would Giles and Lisa.
Oh! Oh, it's so unfair.
You are in the lead. You can
I'm in the lead. I don't want to be in the lead.
Well, you can be in the lead. You're in a strong lead, and you can be generous. And so, because the audience would like to hear a little bit about marmalade, because everybody else has spoken about it. So give us 3 minutes. Three minutes.
So give us 5.5 hours on...
Actually, it's only 1 second available.
Okay.
Marmalade with you, starting now.
Marmalade, we're a 60s band.
So, with the chairman's help, Richard Morton spoke as the whistle when gained that extra point for doing so, and he's now in second place behind Giles Brandreth, and the other two are just 1 point behind him. And Lisa Goddard, it's your turn to begin. The subject is good manners. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Evelyn Waugh said that good manners are the necessity of the plain because the pretty can get away with anything.
You're telling me. Carry on, I'm just enjoying watching.
Giles has got a bonus point. Lisa gets a point for being interrupted and keeps the subject of good manners. And there are 54 seconds starting now.
Manners maketh man. Good manners in the old days consisted of the man walking on the outside of...
Ken Bruce challenge.
A repetition of man.
Yes, we've had too much man there. Right, 48 seconds for you, Ken, to tell us something about good manners starting now.
I am the very epitome of good manners. Place me at a table, I won't drink the finger bowl. I will not eat peas off my knife. I am a very perfect guest at any dinner party. If you were to take me into the pauses...
I want him to take me into the pauses. Right, see, a bit of hesitation.
Which was the... What were you trying to say?
I was going to say Houses of Parliament.
Houses of Parliament. Well, a man who was recently in the Houses of Parliament as an MP has actually challenged you and got a correct challenge, and there are 31 seconds for you to tell us something.
Yes, I know, but might press the button first.
First light to come on is the one who gets it, Richard. I have to be fair with the rules.
Okay.
So, Giles, tell us something about good manners and 31 seconds starting now.
I eat my peas with honey. I've done it all my life. They do taste kind of funny, but it keeps them on the knife. It's the basic rule as far as table etiquette is concerned. Knowing how to behave correctly is enormously important if one wants to be successful in this life. And this is advice I'm passing on to Richard here, whose dress sense possibly does not actually epitomize the best of good manners.
Right, Richard, you challenge.
Ah, I just had to shut him up.
You're right, it was a slur.
A slur on my dress sense.
You're saying to some people you are the most elegantly dressed person here today.
Yeah.
To others, like Giles, who comes in his shirt sleeves. I mean, it's a slightly different attitude.
I think it's an amusement to come as a seed packet. It's a funny idea.
Was that a plant?
I think your sartorial sense is to be commended.
He said this too many times.
Yeah, I did.
It was all this.
I can't give you bonus points as well, Richard. But you've got the subject.
Okay.
Of good manners. And you have 7 seconds to go, starting now.
During the World Cup, the Brazil manager said that it was OK for his team to have sex during the competition. When I was a lad, they just used to shake hands after scoring the goal, and that was enough!
What does that have to do with good manners? I think
Richard Morton speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point, and he's moved forward. He's only 3 behind our leader, Giles Brandreth. The other 2 are training behind him. And we've got time for another round. Oh. And Ken Bruce, it's your turn. Half term. Something that's affected every parent. Talk about the subject. 60 seconds starting now.
Is this not just the finest part of the year, when the little darlings come home and you sit there thinking, oh, wonderful, the children are here to spend their time with me, and 6 hours later you want them back at school. You are taking them to the shops, you're playing football with them, you're somebody.
Giles, who challenged?
I'm questioning Ken's parenting skills.
But he also hesitated, which I'm sure is a correct challenge. 41 seconds, Giles, starting now.
Nowadays, prison reform has gone so far that most convicts are out at half term. Very few of them actually do even a few days in there. And when they are in prison, it's like being on a school outing. This perhaps is a prejudiced view, but it is my view. As far as I'm...
And Ken, you challenged.
Views.
There were 2 views there. You repeated it. And Ken, you got in with 23 seconds to tell us more about half-term starting now.
This year I'm taking the children to Pentonville Prison and hoping they have a wonderful time with all the merry games that you can have in there in the cells, slopping out, eating the...
So, hesitation there. Lisa, you got in first and there are 12 seconds. On half-term starting now.
Half-time is very difficult for mothers. The children are home all day, legs all over the place, teenagers, music coming from every quarter of the house, food, shopping, washing, what's for breakfast, lunch.
So, Lisa Goddard speaking as the whistle went, not only got that round to a close, but also got the show to a close, and also got that extra point for speaking as the whistle went. And the final situation was that Lisa Goddard, Ken Bruce, and Richard Morton were all equal in second place. A few points ahead of them was Giles Brandreth. So today, we say, Giles, you're the winner.
Hooray!
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. Then remains for to say, on behalf of Lisa Goddard, Ken Bruce, Richard Morton and Giles Brandreth and myself, goodbye. Hope you've enjoyed it. Be with us next time we play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us, goodbye.
And next week, we begin a new series at 12:25. Paul Ross is back on BBC One on Monday, going all over the shop.